All right, everybody. We got a big night of football in Pittsburgh. Arthur Smith on Cooper Kupp trade rumors and how it's above his pay grade. He's not going to answer that question directly. He's going to focus on the guys that are here, but he did also acknowledge there that trades happen and that it could happen. We are at Tequila Cowboy. Everybody knows where that is over here on the North Shore. Not that far away from Acrisure Stadium, where tonight Pitt plays Syracuse. And SportsCenter is over, not here, but on the Pitt campus. That's weird, you know?
That's the peril of having your stadium be off campus. You are pulled in two directions.
So I'm actually, I did not anticipate the conversation going in this direction, but you did just hit on something interesting by just bringing that up. Something popped into my head. If I said right now, and I have our bank of phone lines in front of us, if I said right now, should Pitt build an on-campus stadium, 412-928-9370, I could fill that
every
bank
one
of phone
lines
in 2 minutes.
Correct.
I want to get to a point, or I'm hoping we get to a point, where this football team generates that kind of interest. Because the two things that are going on at the same time tonight, this game, and then Cooper Kupp suits up for the Rams, comes back, it's a chance for the Steelers and fans to see what he looks like and make your decision. Is this a guy worth trading for? Yes or no? And I just wonder how many people here will watch that compared to the Syracuse Pitt game. And the friggin' Amazon thing makes it hard to do both, unless you have two TVs. Streaming sucks for being able to toggle and go back and forth between games.
Oh, I think the move here is, now personally, I would put the NFL game on my phone, and I would just keep an eye on it when the Rams have the ball. If as a viewer, I am that interested in what Cooper Kupp does, because I'm like, it's like being an undecided voter how many days before the election. Like, you're looking for your final.
Maybe this will be an October surprise.
Yes, it's an October surprise. Thank you. I'm sure many of our listeners know exactly what that even means.
Seth, do you know about October surprises? No. He's too out. The MILF hunter here's got other things to worry about.
Do you think Donnie knows what an October surprise is? Donnie, I will tell you before I ask you to answer that it is not something dirty. It's something political. Do you know?
I do not know.
Did you know that Seth has a penchant for women in their 50s?
50s?
Yeah, we had that 40s. Conversation yesterday, which, by the way, I put out Pony's take on Twitter, and we have some people saying it might be his worst of all time, Malzy.
Which one?
Marissa Tomei and Stifler's
yeah,
mom.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I didn't give you permission to put that one out there.
You sent it. You said it publicly, so it's out there now. Public domain. You said it on the air. Donnie's allowed to do whatever. I mean, you do this with many of our guests. You put their takes out there. To the point where some of them have to preempt their interview with us saying, Pony, do not say,
right, well,
do not tweet this out.
Preemptively, anytime I rank one celebrity's looks over another, you're not allowed to tweet it out anymore.
Huh. Now,
there you go.
Preemptively, you're not allowed to take anything I say on the show and tweet it out. It all has to remain the domain of the show unless I send it out there. Donnie, you have permission, however, to do so.
So Donnie can tweet out your
takes. But you're not even allowed to retweet Donnie, yeah? I guess we can fight fire with fire here. Donnie, an October surprise is a late in the game, right before a presidential election, a late story that damages one of the candidates and therefore possibly swings the election. Anyway, my point is,
you'd
I will get
back. More attention on the Pitt-Syracuse game
way
than
more.
The Cooper
well,
Kupp
way
thing.
More, because for me, I'm not an undecided voter on Cooper Kupp. I know exactly what kind of player he is when he's healthy. I have a conception, a pretty decent one, of what he would look like outside that offense. He'd still get open. He'd still make catches. He'd probably be dominant as a slot receiver. But I think for his injury history and for what the Rams purportedly want back in draft capital, he's close to a non-starter for me unless they moved off that position.
So if he had a monster game tonight, that would not make you more interested in wanting him? Really?
No. No, because that's like being a prisoner of the moment.
And I'm sorry, sports talk show hosts are never prisoners of the moment.
So if he has a three-catch game for 18 yards, that'd make you want him less? Say he has 4-40, no touchdowns, versus 9-102 and a touchdown. That's not going to sway my opinion on the player here.
There are two different things here. If he goes 4-40, would that make me not want him? No. I'm not going to be that dismayed or put off by one mediocre game when he hasn't played since week two. But if he has a monster game, if he has a huge game, of course that's going to make me, as a fan, that's going to make me want him more.
I just feel that's like that's
gonna...
a short attention span kind of take, though. You've watched this guy for a long time. You know how good he is. You know what he's capable of. Like, so one game's just going to, like, get you that hot to trot about it?
It's gonna change my mind, yes, because, well, it's going to affect me emotionally in the moment. Of course it is. Yes.
I mean, that's just not going to move me.
If Paul Skeens in his debut over here to my left gave up 8 runs, and that was the first time you saw him in the major leagues, you'd be like, oh, God, I don't know if this guy's all he's cracked up to be. If he went out and struck out 20, then you would have higher hopes for him. I think performances and production count for something, Chris. Do they not? If Russell Wilson was coming off a ho-hum game, I don't think he'd be saying, maybe this team actually can go somewhere. Or maybe Mike Tomlin did make the right
call. But I just don't think that the question with Cooper Kupp is at all about can he perform. It's can he stay healthy. And, like, him having a what you would call, like, an 8 out of 10 performance versus a 5 or a 4
yeah,
out
Chris,
of 10 does not move me.
Hold on a second, though. But it should, though, because of you just mentioned the injury thing. If he went out there and looked great and put up big numbers, it would show that he's over the high ankle sprain and he's not encumbered by it or affected by it. If he was, you know, not looking aesthetically, if he was kind of limping around out there and looked much slower, then...
Well, that's a different question, though. Like, you're talking about how he physically looks versus how he performs. Yes, if he physically didn't look like himself, that would be...
But you just said a few minutes ago that you really didn't have to watch him that closely tonight.
I'm talking strictly about performance. Like, strictly about does he put up numbers or not. That has nothing to do with does he even look healthy.
Yeah.
That's two different things, man. You know those are two different
things.
Well,
you tried to give me in a loophole where that we were talking about two different things. So, bam, turnaround is fair play. Take that to start a show.
You're still smarting after losing Judge Donnie yesterday, which is fine. I think, though, that the Pitt game is just, in general, I understand the Steelers are a way bigger story in town, you know, 10 times out of 10. That's not being rude to Pitt. That's just stating a fact. But how many times do we have, and I hate to use this word because it sounds dismissive or like a put-down of Pitt, but... them being 6-0 this late in a season is a true novelty.
Well, it's never happened in our lifetimes.
That's what I mean. So there is a novelty factor for me. Like, usually, even if they were a good team, like they were 4-2 and the two losses were close losses to good opponents this far into the season, you'd have a defined endpoint of where their season was going to like go. Like, they'd be already consigned to, like, maybe the Pinstripe Bowl or something. Best case scenario, maybe they get into what? They sneak into a New Year's Six Bowl? Because they're not making a 4-team playoff, right?
Yeah.
With two losses. It's a 12-team playoff now. They're unbeaten. They have a tough road ahead still. They've still got Louisville. They've still got Clemson. They've still got SMU next week as a ranked opponent on the road. But, like, we're in uncharted waters here, as you just said, in our lifetimes. They're 6-0.
And yet, like I just said, if I said, should they build an on-campus stadium, 412-928-9370, a million people would call in.
I know.
But even as you say 6-0, I just... here's what I don't want to fall into. I don't want to fall into the trap of one of our old boss's pet peeves where I bring up a topic that says,
do you care?
Do you care?
Well,
are you interested?
Starkey still does that.
But you know,
he loves that.
Like, if I have to even ask that question, I think I have my answer. You know, like, I...
yeah, that's the old... there's like a whole law, like, if the headline asks a question, the answer is no. One of those deals. Like, if the New York Times publishes something and the headline is a literal question, the answer is always no.
I guess what I... here, okay, so to me, this is what I would want to know, having not experienced the mid to late 70s and the early 80s, when Pitt was legitimately one of the best college football programs in the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't just bragging about guys that they put in the NFL. They won a national championship in 76, and the last time they were 6-0, they were ranked number one in the nation,
yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, that predates us.
Yes.
But there are people in our audience who are listening who do remember, whether they're Pitt fans or not, what that was like. Is it possible for Pitt to become a big deal in this town? When that team was number one, and when they were a few years removed from winning a national championship, and their star quarterback was Dan Marino,
mm-hmm.
was Pitt a massive deal here? That's what I want to know. Because that legitimately is a curiosity of mine, because it's something that I can't draw upon personal experience and say, well, honestly, in Pittsburgh, even when Pitt is great, Not that many people care.
Well, they're all,
Seth is sitting to my left. Seth is sitting to my left. He roots for all the Philly teams. He could say, you know, even when Villanova was winning national championships, nobody gives a rat's ass about Villanova basketball.
I always thought that they did, though, because it's a basketball
city. Yeah,
city.
I'm not – yes, okay, fair enough. I'm not looking to debate that per se, but you know what I mean? When USC is great, are they a big deal in L.A.?
When Miami is great, are they a big deal down there? With USC, I've always thought that USC, when they are great, is more popular out there than, like, the Rams now or whatever.
Well, yeah, because football teams have moved around.
They're transient football teams.
Yes.
Miami is a good one. Here's one I would like to
know. We have
like
one of the great NFL franchises. Say what you will about what they've haven't done in the playoffs, but they have fans around the world. Other than the Cowboys and maybe the Packers, they have the most NFL fans. Okay, so it's a religion here. We know Pitt.
Miami had
is
some
not.
Juice when Jimmy Johnson was there, even when Schnellenberger was there. Miami had some juice, especially like late 80s. You get into early 90s. They took on a life of their own because there was the whole, like, what, Catholics versus convicts, or was that the Florida State game, whatever it was. You know what
I
mean?
No, that was Miami.
They'd play Notre Dame, and it was like the two worlds colliding. Here are the honest-to-God fan base I would love to hear from on this, believe it or not, is people who lived in Cincinnati a couple of years ago when they made the college football playoff. They don't have the program tradition that Pitt does where you can fall back on, like, hey, this is an iconic national title team like in the last 50 years.
Yeah, like
years.
The Sauce Gardner team.
Right, like they don't have that. They have the Tony Pike team or the Zach Caleros team.
Oh, God.
But my point in bringing that up is the Bengals are not the Steelers, but the Bengals were at that point, I think Burrow was there, and so there was hope there, right? What was that run like for them? When they actually made it, they were a sacrificial lamb to Alabama, but they got there. Did they occupy a lot of rent in people's sports minds in that city? Because I think that is comparable here. If Pitt makes a run out of a conference that now is not the Big Ten and not the SEC, so it is the lesser of the big conferences that are left in the Power Four, is it going to get that kind of capital? I wish I could answer firmly yes, but I think the group of people, the subset we would hear from, are diehard Pitt fans. Of course it would move the needle.
Well, let's see.
Casuals who would say the opposite.
Well, let's see. Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We're here at Tequila Cowboy. This place is going to be absolutely bonkers once we get closer to kickoff, during the game, after the game. It's a Thursday night, Thursday kind of deal. People come down here and party their nuts off until the wee hours of the morning. 412-928-9370. We promised your calls. Let's go to him, starting with Hammer. He's on the fan. Hello, Hammer.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
You're talking about – oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, you're talking about Pitt moving the needle. I think the only way Pitt truly moves the needle is that they have to run the table. They have to have the undefeated season. Because right now, as you were saying before, it's basically a pro sports town here. If the Steelers are running the table, too, and get a chance having a deep run.
Hammer, I'll disagree a little. You say they have to run the table, which means actually go undefeated. Let me tell you something right now. If they beat Syracuse tonight,
thanks, Hammer,
and they beat SMU on the road, SMU currently ranked three spots behind them in the polls, and they get to 8-0, and then they don't do a Pitt thing and stub their toe against Virginia, and they head in 9-0, and have Clemson coming in here, and Clemson will probably be ranked right around where they would be. Pitt would be in the top 10 at that point because they're 19th right now. You go in 9-0, you're going to be a top 10 team. Do you agree?
Yeah.
With a couple ranked wins?
Yeah.
I do believe, as much as it is tough for them to break through that kind of wall here sometimes with pro football, there will be a real buzz. That will be a sellout, I think, if they play Clemson at 9-0.
Here's why I don't think it will be, and I don't say this to just be an a-hole on the Pitt flagship station, but the next day it's Steelers-Ravens at 1 o'clock. It's just it's bad timing, I think.
So what do you think they would put in? Do you think you'd have, like, the corners of the upper deck empty and, 55,000 in there?
I mean, you know what? I mean,
Clemson would travel people because that would be a powerhouse game.
That's a good point. So
you'd get 20,000 Clemson fans
there. Yeah, it might be a sellout because Clemson's not going to be.
But you know what? Hold on. Even as you say that, I think Pitt moving the needle involves you don't just have a third of your attendance overrun by Clemson fans who don't have anything else that they care about. That's their team. Like, the environment would be cool because it would be a loud, filled stadium.
Well, you know,
but
I mean,
it would not be a Pitt-dominated
stadium.
We'll
see how much, like, the brass ring of the college football playoff factors into this, because I was at that Pitt-Clemson game when Kenny was a Heisman finalist, and it was a great crowd on a kind of chilly day. But the Steelers didn't play that weekend. So they had the town to themselves. The Clemson day, you have the Steelers Ravens, the biggest rivalry, one of the biggest rivalries in football, buttressed right against it, and both teams are competing for first place right now. How much time would we spend on Friday on Pitt Clemson if you got Steelers Ravens that weekend, Chris?
We wouldn't, because it's a pro town. I will say the brass ring of the college football playoff, it's not even so much getting to the playoff, it's the possibility of who you would potentially see if you got there.
Penn State?
Yes. I mean...
everything comes back to Penn State for Pitt once again.
Yes, it does. Okay, do you disagree with me?
No, but I'm just saying, State fans make fun of Pitt for that, Chris.
Do you know that having
gone to Penn State and being a Pitt fan?
I know, but I also know that the same Penn State fans who claim that it's just how pathetic of little old Pitt are gleeful beyond measure when they beat Pitt. They care. The whole shtick there is, I don't care about Pitt, but they actually do.
412-928-9370. Here's Bruce on the fan. Hello, Bruce.
Hi, guys.
Hey,
you asked about Pitt moving the needle back in the 80s and 90s.
No, I didn't ask about the 90s because I knew they weren't very good then. I meant more like when Marino was there and they won the national championship in 76.
Tom Tumulty was not moving the needle.
Right. I graduated in 76 and came back for games. Two things to think about. There was no real sports coverage then like today. There was no ESPN. You got Sporting News. You got Sports Illustrated. That was it. And on local news, Pitt was always third behind the Steelers and the Pirates. Remember, they were at their apex. The Pirates are going for a second World Series.
Yeah.
The Steelers are going for that second run after they lost in 76 and they're banged up.
So they were even getting lost in the shuffle back then.
And that's even with a homegrown star in Tony Dorsett. I mean,
star in Marino.
Right.
And Dan Marino. But coverage was different then. And most of your fans were organic. They came from the Pittsburgh area. I mean, I'm driving up today from Maryland for the game. It's not unusual today for fans to fly in or drive in from all over. That didn't happen back then. So
that's interesting. Thanks, Bruce. I'm not cutting you off because I didn't.
I think he made some pretty interesting points about the entire nature of what we do versus what it was back then. I think that's fair.
412-928-9370. Marty's next. Hello, Marty.
Hey guys. Hey, yeah, I'm a Penn State grad too. I've had season tickets for Pitt with my kids. I grew up in Lawrenceville, like college football. Pitt's my second favorite team.
Who's your first favorite team?
Penn State. Well, went there.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to like both, Marty.
Did you play for Penn
State?
Yes,
you are. My wife went to Pitt.
Marty, did you play for Penn State then?
No, you're not allowed. You're not allowed to like both, Marty.
Okay, well, moving on. So twice the season ticket over for Pitt, two different times. Johnny Major, second term, which was rough.
Ugh.
And then the Walt Harris, you know, Rod Rutherford, Larry Fitzgerald there. I saw a lot of passion in the early 2000s with the Rutherford Fitzgerald crowd. They regularly against like Virginia Tech and people like that. I'm not taking a walk. They would get like 45,000 to 55,000 people. It just seems
that's what they're getting now.
Well, no, they're not. That's what they're claiming. Chris knows that.
Oh.
Everybody laughs about what they report for.
Chris,
attendance.
Is that true, Chris?
I mean, I will say whatever their attendance numbers are, I think you can tell when the game, if they say, hey, we got 53,000 here, when there's more like 41,000. Yes, I think that's fair.
Chris. They assume. I'm sorry to interrupt. They assume that every student, who is different than a lot of schools, where you have to buy a ticket. It's part of their student activity fee.
Yeah.
They assume every student goes to the game, whether they do or not. That's how they bump theirs. But anyhow, the punchline is, you know, growing up in Lawrenceville, a lot of Pitt fans, friends. I won't say I'm the second favorite team again, but there's I can't tell you how many people. You know, I'm in my mid 60s now. So you talk about going to a game, because I still like going to the games. They look at you like you're an alien. I thought it was interesting. Andrew said this place is going to be roaring during the game. My reaction would be, go to the damn game. What do you mean to me? Why are people going to be at a bar? Just go to the game. But that's...
Well, you could do both. You could go to the game.
I thought you meant more that before the game, in the run-up to the game, it was going to start getting very packed.
Yes,
out
it
here.
Will.
Yeah, I didn't think you presented it like it was going to be an alternative to going in the building.
No, I don't. I hope I didn't make it sound that way. I thought he was going to make the joke that people used to make about Pitt, where you leave two tickets on your car and then you come back and there's four there. It sounded like he was... going down that road.
No, but he's a Pitt fan, too.
You can't do that. I mean, if he likes Penn State and
that's
Pitt,
the Chris Mack.
He likes Penn State, and then there's, like,
gap,
a gulf the size of the Grand Canyon.
Do you believe Mac when he says that when the two teams did play, he just rooted for a close competitive game?
No.
I don't. I think Mac wanted Penn State to bury them.
Correct. Yeah.
That's like when my mom will talk about, like, when the Steelers would play the Browns, she'd be like, I just hope it's a good game. Like, no, Mom, we know that you're still a Browns fan. Like, we know that you want them to beat the Steelers. What are you talking about?
Hey, make it a point Sunday to get down to PetFest 2024, presented by Subaru. Rockwell Park, East End. Get off the parkway. It's right there. Very easy. The Edgewood exit. Event runs from 9:30 to 4. Free parking. It's indoors, so you don't have to worry about maybe chilly weather. There's going to be beer vendors there with free samples for people. Costume contests where you can win prizes. So stop by any Subaru dealer to get tickets or go to our website, 937thefan.com today. The tickets are free with that through Subaru. Subaru partners. All right. We are here at Tequila Cowboy, right next door to Acrisure Stadium, Pitt-Syracuse tonight. Going down in L.A., the return of Cooper Kupp and the rumors with the Steelers now being the favorites, according to odds makers, to trade for the Rams wide receiver. Jason Mackey, Post-Gazette, on the hotline right now with us. Jason, you're over there a lot and in the locker room a lot. If you had to bet, do you think Cooper Kupp will be a Steeler, yes or no?
If I say yes, you're going to tweet it out and treat it as some sort of breaking news. I'll couch it this way, Andrew. I mean, I've been over there a lot. I've watched this team a lot. I've been around this team a lot. They need a Cooper Kupp. I mean, it makes sense. I see a second-round ask for him. I mean, how do you not make that deal? How do you not make that deal? To me, that is a slam dunk. He helps your team. He balances out the field. He takes attention away from George Pickens.
Wait a minute. So you would trade a second for him?
I would. Absolutely, I would.
What about his injury history?
I'd take the chance, Chris. I think it's worth the risk. I really do. I think he could be such a valuable weapon in this offense. It's such a great mesh of skill sets. I mean, yeah, I would take the risk. I think they need to take the risk. Are you guys against it?
For a second, I am.
For a second, yeah. Neither of us would do it for a second.
Okay. I would. I would take the risk. I would go all in.
I would want to know this, Jason, from the people you talk to, how desperate, I guess, for lack of a better word, how motivated do you think they are over there to find another receiver to bring onto this roster?
I think very motivated. You know, and I think,
like, to the point where they're going to do something just to do something, well, if it comes to that, or, like, you know what I mean? Because I ask that in the prism of how desperate are they to pay somebody else's asking price rather than what they might have preset in their own minds is what they're willing to give up.
No doubt. And I think there's a difference between desperate wanting to address the position and wanting to give up a second rounder for Cooper Kupp. I mean, just because I would do it doesn't mean they would do it. And again, I'm not saying that, you know, they would. That's why I answered the way that they did. Like, I do think they want to get this addressed before the trade deadline. And I think they're telling us that too, Chris, but, you know, look at who they've been attached to, who they're the favorites to, who they've expressed interest in. Like, I'm not a big expressed interest on one individual guy. Like, oh my goodness, that's the biggest story in sport. No, I mean, but if you do it across a bunch of different guys, if you're checking on premium number 1/1A type of receivers, they're telling us something there. And they've told us something with, you know, Devontae Adams, Brandon Ayuk, et cetera.
And you would put this ahead of all those trades? You'd rather trade a second for Kupp than a third for Adams or a second for Ayuk?
I didn't like the Ayuk salary situation. Okay. Kupp's a little bit more friendly in that regard. They're a little bit more guarded against, you know, what they're, how do I say it, like accountable for, attached to. They don't have to pay him as much. Like, I didn't totally see it with Devontae Adams one. I'd probably rank 3 in terms of, like, actual interest. It certainly seemed like from Devontae Adams' end he wanted to go with, you know, Aaron Rodgers or a different quarterback. But, I mean, this to me, outside of the injury stuff, guys, Cooper Kupp, I'm saying, like, makes the most sense out of any of these deals. And if you say, like, well, we're going to take the risk with the injury. I mean, you guys would both do it for a third, I'm assuming.
Yes.
So it's that. Malzi, it's that
would I would even do it
second.
For a conditional third. I'd even do it for a conditional third that becomes a second if he hits certain marks and they hit certain marks, because then I feel like, okay, that ensures me that if I have to give up a second, it's because he stayed healthy, because he made a huge
positive
impact.
Because we had team success.
Yeah, like, there's a tit-for-tat there right now that doesn't exist if they just say...
Don't say tit-for-tat around Seth. He gets excited thinking about those 40-year-olds that he was
Poor Seth.
Over.
Yeah, Seth's never going to live that one down with you.
He said it. I mean, he volunteered the information that he's a Cooper
Jason,
chaser.
Jason, while we're on this vague subject, Pony yesterday, very harsh in his assessment, very dismissive of Marissa Tomei as a beautiful Hollywood starlet from her day. We think it's one of his worst opinions ever, which is saying something when you just consider many of his opinions. Your thought?
Andrew, how dare you? What? Marissa
Jason,
Tomei is not...
Here's your thing though. I've been around you enough where every time there's a conversation about a female celebrity, you say, "I have a hot wife. I don't even have to think about."
Yeah,
it
but
worry
he's
about
not
that
doing
stuff.
That right now. We know he feels that way, but he is even poo-pooing
guys,
you. And he's the late Dikembe Mutombo would be proud. He's finger wagging you for kissing Marissa Tomei
because I'm just my wife is so incredible. He's one of those guys.
I'm a big fan of my wife, but I can still admit that Marissa Tomei is a beautiful woman, and you're wrong for not seeing that.
Thank you. That's all we need to hear.
True, Andrew.
I'm tweeting that out. Jason Mackey, Marissa Tomei, much hotter than my wife.
Oh, well, here you go. See, he's not going to want to do any of this kind of thing again because you're going to misrepresent him.
All right, Jason. We are crunched for time, so we'll do this again next week. Okay, buddy?
All right, guys. Take care.